He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday edition down in the bunker with sandbags taking incoming. It's the Best Stocks Now show and Best Inverse Funds Now show. Several of those working for us today, doing what they're supposed to do. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And if you're just waking up, the Dow's down 682. Yes, that is right. That's not a misprint. It's down 682. That works out to 1.75%. The Dow is down to 37,778. The NASDAQ, being hurt by Meta, Facebook, the NASDAQ is down 282. That's 1.8% after going on a scorching run that began January of 2023. The NASDAQ is now down to 15,425 as we remain in the midst of a correction. The Russell 2000 is down 33 to 1962. Where were you? The S&P 500 down 75 points. Our double inverse S&P index fund is doing well today. The S&P is down 1.49%. The crude oil market's down 50 cents to 82.33. As guess what? U.S. economy starting to slow down. We'll get to that in a bit. Gold's down $7.30 to $2,331. And here's the problem. The inflation numbers still pretty strong. The economy slowing. The 10-year's up 7 basis points to 7.23% today. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only active management firm. Oh, not overactive, but certainly vigilant. And I think you know from listening that we kind of saw this correction coming in the market, and we took some pretty good action, which I only do if I feel pretty strongly that we're going to see some profit taking, a hit to the market. We've got so much to talk about today. I don't know. We'll get through it. I want to pick out the most important things. The Meta earnings. This all began with the Meta earnings Facebook last night. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Barry, the last time Facebook reported earnings, wasn't that the biggest one-day gain in market capitalization in the history of the market? Wasn't that Meta?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was up there. I think Nvidia actually has the one that's the most up. I know. Okay. Facebook holds the, you know, I think about a year or so ago, I think Facebook holds the one that was the biggest market cap drop in a single day, and that was on an earnings call. I don't know. I think about probably about a year ago or so now. But okay. The interesting thing was the, you know, they you know, it's all about forward guidance, like you said. You always say the market's certainly forward looking, and the big problem with Facebook was, or Meta, is just the they had some soft go forward revenue numbers, which when you looked at what the estimates were, they weren't really that soft.
No.
On a go forward basis, but they've got a big spend in terms of AI, and they still got to execute, and that's, I think,
yeah,
where the market's kind of
repricing. Yes,
them
and you know, I remember they've had mostly over the year mostly blowout earnings, so this one is a stinker. That's one of the big stories here that we'll get to. I don't think I would pull the plug on my Meta holding, so over. They still have a very strong position in the marketplace out there.
And a forward P ratio of 24. At
yeah,
the moment.
I mean, so they're going to stumble from time to time when they do a big investment. Now, he may just be saying that. I just don't see I don't see Meta's chart going sour like I did Apple's chart, like I saw Tesla's chart. But obviously, we'll keep our eye on it. Okay, so We're in this. This is the heart of earnings season right now. You know, I really feel like by the end of this week, we have a pretty good feel for where we're at because we're getting all these big tech names reporting in the market here. These are really the important ones that will carry the day as to whether or not earnings can continue to grow. Now, I'm a little bit worried about the total numbers for this year. That's the S&P 500. And I'm a little worried about the total numbers for next year, 2025, because you've had some major stocks here report, like Tesla, like Meta, who else was it? Someone else. But these are big contributors. They have been in the past to the growth. Now, there's two more today that I'll really be watching now, especially Microsoft and Google. And that's going to pretty much set the tone. Once those two are in, we're going to have a good feel. We had a weak day in the market yesterday. Interest rates are drifting higher. We'll talk about that because that's an important thing there. To see it up at 4.75 today. You know, Barry, just the combination of a slowing economy, GDP comes in at 1.6. That's really, it's not grinding to a halt, but that's quite a slowdown and unexpected. What was the expected number that the analyst said?
I want to say the number, and I'll get it exactly. I want to say it was 2.5%. It was a significant, if we're going to down on anything besides the economic numbers that came in, certainly the analyst.
The analyst got it wrong.
Got it wrong.
2.3 was the consensus, and it came in at 1.6. Okay, so now, here's the bugaboo. When you add up a slowing economy, now this is just one quarter, okay, down to 1.6%, which isn't good for the Biden administration with us just, 6 months, 5 months out now.
Yeah, 30% lower than estimated. I mean,
yes, that's quite a bit.
Those numbers.
And on top of that, did the PCE come in today?
They put a little bit of that number in there. You get the kind of that real number tomorrow.
Okay, but if you look at the last the previous quarter's PCE was 3.4. So if you have 3.4 inflation and 1.8 GDP, the word out there on the street that everybody's worried about, why you see the S&P down 650 today, is stagflation. And stagflation, obviously, would be the worst of both worlds. When you have rising prices and a slowing economy, that's not a good combination. So anyways, look,
And the reason why it's bad is the Fed can't help as much, right? If you've got rising prices and waning growth, right? If you lower interest rate, which is what you would usually do to boost growth, well, then all you're going to do is potentially fuel more inflation.
Right.
But
the good news is that I mean, oil and energy prices are falling. They're a major component of inflation. I think inflation is coming under control myself. The labor markets are still a little bit on the hot side. But if you get a slowing economy, that'll help take care of some of the red-hot labor market. I see food prices pretty much stabilizing. The biggest contributor to inflation, at least recently, has been shelter, which rent prices. But I see that stabilizing. I guess it's a shortage. There's a shortage problem with demand outstripping that. Okay, now we've got some huge earnings coming in today, big companies. We're going to put we're going to hold each CEO accountable here for the performance that they've delivered to their shareholders over the years. We have some good and some bad, they need to be called out and held accountable. And you need to ask yourself, do I own this stock? How has this CEO done for me? We've got some good ones and some bad ones today. Our trade deficit widens in March. That's also a negative. Here's
formula.
The thing.
Yeah.
Last but not least.
It's a negative, right?
Initial jobless claims drop. Okay, that is right. Bullish. That is inflationary. That means the jobs market is still tight. So I don't think it's the end of the world today. But obviously, when you see a big drop in the market like this, the drop in the NASDAQ is a big chunk of that is Meta. Meta's 5%. Down 15% or 11. Meta's coming back a little bit right now. And I'm going to dig into Meta when we come back about their performance over the years and why the stock is down 11 or 12% today. You also got to remember when you've got these stocks that have done so well over the last 12 months. For instance, Meta's up 137% over the last 12 months. They become very vulnerable to any kind of hiccup. And really, when you see an 11% drop in a stock that's up 138% over the last 12 months, that's going to happen from time to time. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market, you know, closed yesterday. It was a pretty flat day overall, pretty boring day. And then when the market closed, shortly thereafter, Meta reported earnings and immediately was met with a pretty big reaction to the downside. The revenues mostly met expectations, and guidance for the current quarter came in on the light side. All right, let's just take a quick look at the quarter that they reported. Oh, God. You know, their sales were only up 27%, Barry. 27%. This is a $1 trillion company.
It's all forward-looking.
Earnings were only up 78%. Do you know that what AT&T would give to have numbers like that, or some of these other dogs of the Verizon, etc. So anyway, somewhere in the mix, they came in a little bit light. They beat. Meanwhile, the cost and expenses were up 6%, blah, blah, blah. Losses, net income more than doubled to $12.4 billion. Zuckerberg said it's been a good start to the year. A new version of Meta AI with Llama 3 is another step towards building the world's leading AI. Ad impressions across the family rose 20%. I think capital expenditures was one of the issues. They're going to really invest heavily.
That's the part, and their investment, right? Their investment they're making. I think there's really one sentence in the call that really made a big difference was where he says basically they're going to still grow their investment envelope in AI meaningfully before we make much revenue from these new products.
Yeah,
so in other
words, kind of ridiculous. Really.
Long duration, right? I mean, that's that long duration play in terms of. They've got to make this investment now and hopefully execute and be able to monetize it down the road.
Get a return on the investment now. Okay, now you have to put this in perspective also that over the last 12 months, the stock's up 138% while the S&P's up 25%. It's been one of the best performing stocks in the entire market, relative strength of 96%. Over the last 3 years, it's averaged 18% per year, while the S&P has averaged 7%. Over the last 5 years, Meta's averaged 21% per year. This is return, capital appreciation, to 14.5% for the S&P, and 24% over the last 10 years, 23% versus 17% for the S&P. And I think it's at the center of AI. It's too early for me to say, would this be a buying opportunity? Well, that's all I can tell you is it got down to 414 this morning. 414, and it's already back to 441. Okay, so it's up $27, $37 per share, $27 per share, which is about a 4 or 5% gain since the bottom this morning if you would have bought it at the open. I'm inclined, my gut tells me that everything is fine, and it's an overreaction. It's a stock blowing off a little bit of steam. It's a nervous market right now. So, you know, I think obviously it's weighing on us today. But, you know, that's where the hedges come in. I choose on some of my stocks to hold them and hedge against them. So, for instance, okay, we have a two-time inverse Dow for our, you know, the portfolio that is more large cap. It's up 3.7% today, 3.6% today. We have a two times inverse the NASDAQ, which is a hedge against, you know, NVIDIA and Microsoft and the Meta. It's up 3.1% today. We have a 2X ultra short hedge against the S&P 500. It's up 2.9% today. Now, it doesn't do good on big up days in the market, does it? No, it's a hedge. And a protection against volatile times in the market, which we're going through right now. I only pull those things out when I see something out there that makes my left eye twitch.
In position sizing. Yeah, position sizing is also important.
Yes.
When you look at, you know, if Meta, let's just say, you know, says roughly, say, 6.5% of you know, say, our one of our portfolios, well, you know, you're looking at a 65 basis point, right, 0.65%. hit to the portfolio even when the stock's down 10%, right?
And so yes, exactly. And I buy 2X hedges. So, you know, a 5% overall position gives me 10%, right? Because it's choose 2-1. Okay, and then I have inverse Cathie Wood. That's up 2.7% today, which, you know, really with her owning Tesla mostly, that's a hedge against more of the aggressive growth stocks. And then, believe it or not, I mean, the AI stocks are doing pretty well today. Arista Networks up 1.8%. NVIDIA's up 1.7% today. So,
well,
it's,
yeah, because that's the other side of that coin, right? So on one side, you've got Facebook spending money, right, on AI.
Exactly.
And of course, who are they giving that money to, right?
Why do you think the AI stocks are up today? Because Meta says, well, we're going to really ramp up our spending for AI. Well, that comes down to about three stocks. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Supermicro, I suppose, would be in there somewhere. And then we do have one other hedge that's 1-1, PSQ, which is 1-1 inverse the NASDAQ. It's up 1.6%. Okay, so I don't have any more to say on Meta. It's not a chart that looked like it was getting squishy like Tesla and Apple, which led me to sell those. It's been on a tear. They had a phenomenal growth in earnings, in sales, 27% year over year. Compare that with Tesla, which yesterday reported a drop in sales of 9%. 9%.
Yeah, and the P.E. ratio, I mean, is still palatable. We always joke
yes.
around that you always get a discount on Meta because no one likes Zuckerberg. And, you know, I think it's a 20.
The Zuckerberg
I think it's a 24,
discount.
Yeah, it's like a 24 P.E. ratio on a
yes.
forward basis, which isn't far from where the S&P 500 is,
no,
right?
So. No, and you're getting 27% growth. Okay,
right.
Let's go to the next one here. Let's go to a good one here. Chipotle. Which is definitely a best stock now. There's no question about it. And it's up 2.8%. It's stalling out a little bit. But they beat by $1.70. I mean, this is just an excellent company. What can I say? Over the last 10 years, an investment in CMG has returned 19.2% per year. And that includes a stumble. They had a stumble in the last decade. But they have managed to beat the S&P 500. But over the last 5 years, they've really got it together. And the stock has averaged 34% per year returns. That'll pay for some of those pinto beans. That'll pay for some of that.
Even the avocados. Oh,
queso.
Queso.
Queso
yeah.
And, hey, throw on a little queso and guacamole. The stock paid for it. 34% a year while the S&P is 14. And over the last 3 years, over the last 12 months, it's up 64%. It's a little ahead of itself from a value point of view, but, you know, look, the consumer in certain segments is still spending. When we come back, we'll do Lam Research, IBM, Ford, Caterpillar, This is fun. This is what I like doing best. And ServiceNow.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the market looks a little frightening today, with the Dow down 633, the NASDAQ down 254. Now, most of that NASDAQ hit, a lot of it is Meta, Facebook, and of course, 2-to-1 hedges against the NASDAQ certainly do help at a time like this. And then the Dow is down 633. That's 1.7%. The two-time hedge ETF, DXD, against the Dow certainly help on a day like today. And then the S&P is down 1.3%. And a two-time hedge against that, and SDS, is certainly a help today. Now, I'm just going to tell you, most money managers out there, guys that are, let's just say, the registered investment advisory industry, which I am in. I'm not in the hedge fund industry. I'm not a commission broker that gets paid commissions. I'm an registered investment advisor. I'm fee-based only. And I have six strategies. Is it six or five, Perry? I lose track.
Four primary equity strategies.
Well, and then the funds. Okay, so
well,
six.
We've got a little ETF strategy.
Some small IRAs and stuff. Yeah. So six strategies that I run. But I do give investors hedge fund-like management, okay? If it's good enough for the hedge funds to hedge from time to time, why is it not used more in the RIA, registered investment advisor, industry? And in fact, a lot of the custodians, I don't think Vanguard, for instance, allows you to buy
an inverse
fund. So yeah. I don't understand the logic there myself. Why would you not want? That's like having a football team with out of defense. You just say you're on the field all the time trying to score, and the other team gets the ball, and you've got no defense on the field whatsoever. So I don't understand it. And I use them very judiciously during really tough, like right now, we have an extraordinary geopolitical situation in the Middle East. We've had a heck of a run in the market since January of last year. That's a long run. I mean, you can quantify that. I've been doing that in my newsletter. How far did the NASDAQ go in such a short time? And it was driven by the AI craze. And then, you know, you look at valuation. The multiple on the S&P got up to 22. That's high-risk area. That is red flag area on valuation. What is wrong? What's wrong with the logic of taking a 5%, 10% hedge against your portfolio and increase it if necessary? I mean, obviously, if you go into a full-fledged bear market, which I don't think we're going to do, it can be profitable on the. That's what hedge funds do. So for the fee you pay me, the management fee, you're getting hedge fund-like management in addition to that. And I would just say very few people in my industry, the Fishers of the world, they don't have any defense. They don't raise any cash. Obviously, Kathy Wood doesn't have any defense whatsoever. She's just out there getting slaughtered when the market goes bad on us. And that's why I use inverse funds on indexes and ETFs that stay fully invested because there's an advantage over them. I'm also unconstrained, right? I don't have to stay fully invested. And, you know, I did lower my exposure. I sold AMD quite some time ago. I sold Apple quite a while ago. I sold Tesla quite a while. But I'm also very judiciously making my sells. There has to be a sea change in the stock, a change in the story, a change in the fundamentals, or a rebalancing when a position gets too big. I did sell half of my NVIDIA up around the 810 area or so because I have huge gains in it, and it represented 8 or 9% of my portfolio. I want to bring that risk down. That's what money management is all about. And, you know, the dirty little secret in our industry is you probably don't have a money manager. You might be paying for money management. The question is that person, and I have to have discretion over my accounts. There's no way I can call 1,000 people and say, look, I think we should sell this. Do you agree? It would be very inefficient. And that's the problem with the brokerage industry. You have to have people grouped into certain strategies so that you can make those changes very efficiently when you need to. And there's not a lot of RIAs, just to be honest with you, there's not a lot of RIAs that are set up or have the knowledge and the experience to do so. So anyways, that's something for everybody to think about out there. I can't guarantee you that that I'll sell you out at the top and protect you from a bear market, but I'm vigilant and I'm active, and I do try to do things in a very methodical. I work in a very quiet environment all day with very few distractions, and I make those necessary decisions when I have to, when what I think is doing the best for my clients. Because I know how important, these funds are to them. So anyways, I'm not putting in a pitch for myself. I'm giving you an eye-opening reality check on the industry that you have your money with. Okay, let's look at Lam Research real quickly. Lam is a very good bellwether for the semiconductor industry because they make the equipment for making the semiconductor. So on a day when the NASDAQ's down big, you can see that it's mostly Meta. Lam is up 1.6%.
Yeah, and Meta makes up 5%, I believe, of the NASDAQ.
Yeah, so it's outsized. Right. Now look at Lam's performance over time. Over the last 10 years, believe it or not, this is one of the best performing stocks. We owned it in our dividend growth and in our ultra growth portfolio. We recently lightened up on it, but they did put in it, and we sold it all, in fact. Their last 10 years is 31% per year is what they've returned to investors. Their last 5 years is 34% per year. Their last 12 months, the stock's up 77%, while the S&P's down 24%. You compare that with a Procter & Gamble and a Kimberly-Clark and an AT&T and a Verizon, and I could add in about 4,000 other stocks. This is one of the best stocks in the market, but it got a little bit ahead of itself. Okay, let's go next to IBM. Last I looked, IBM was getting hit pretty hard. It's down 9.7%. If I'm not mistaken, IBM's in the Dow, right? Dow, it's a member of the Dow.
It should be.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I can confirm that in just a
minute. Okay. And IBM is down 9.7% today. The problem is, IBM has not really stayed on top of the changing technologies like the ServiceNows have, like the ASM lithographies, like the NVIDIAs, like the AMDs have. And IBM over the years, over the last 10 years, you know what you've made on IBM in capital appreciation? Nothing. Nothing. Now, they do have a new CEO, fairly recent. He is doing a better job. You do get a dividend of 4%. The stock is up 46% over the last 12 months, but the growth is anemic. Okay, you have Meta reporting 27% sales growth, IBM 1%. Okay.
Yeah, and it is a member of the
Yeah, company. Absolutely. Okay, now another Dow stock, Caterpillar, the big cat, is off 7.5% today. That's not helping the Dow. Sometimes it's a couple of stocks when you look under those headline numbers. But the cat's been a pretty good stock over the years, to be honest. I actually was one of the stocks I featured in my book back in 2013. And the CEO at the time wrote me a very nice letter, which I still have, thanking me for including them in the book. Cat's up 66%, believe it, over the last 12 months. But it's very sensitive to the economy and the GDP numbers. I would not own it at the current time. Even though it's been a good stock over the years, it's very sensitive to the economy, and it doesn't hold up well in any kind of slowdown in the economy. You go back to the bear market of 07 through 09, it was down 70% during that period of time. So it's one that you've got to own when the economy is cooking, infrastructure is cooking, mining is cooking, all those things together. I can't say that. China is cooking. I can't say that right now. Now, when we come back, we'll look at ServiceNow, Dr. Pepper, United Rentals, and Harley-Davidson. Then we'll call it a day, and I'll get back to work here. We'll be right back. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on a very, very active day in the market, more active than usual. We are in the heart of earnings season, I think 125 or something like that, S&P 500 stocks. Companies are reporting this week and today, tomorrow, especially heavy days. Yesterday and today, especially heavy days. And, of course, we still have two big ones coming after the close, Google and Microsoft. We need a rally. We need a good report from Google and from Microsoft. Google's been hit or miss over the years. Microsoft's been pretty consistent. But you never know. I mean, you could get a warning. Okay, so now, ServiceNow, one of the great stocks of the last decade. But I warned many weeks ago that the software stocks were topping out. And you can just see that topping trend there where it traded in a range. It went up. It was a huge winner. I said the software stocks are starting to flatten out. That means probably that eventually the chip stocks will flatten out and the NASDAQ will have a correction. ServiceNow over the last 10 years has been one of the good ones in the market. I mean, like one of the best. Over the last 10 years, ServiceNow, 31% return. Okay, and over the last 12 months, the stock's up 69%. But when a stock goes up 69% during a 12-month period of time, that's excessive alpha, right? You're not going to complain about excessive alpha if you're a stockholder, a shareholder, but you're going to get nervous.
Well, and you're price, you know, it's the old term price for perfection, right? At that particular moment in time, and so you've you know, anytime you get, I mean, classic example is look at the current earnings and revenues of Facebook. I think they beat on both, but then the revenue guidance going forward was lower than the analyst estimated midpoint. So, I mean, and like we're talking about maybe, you know, $450 million or something. You know, not a huge number for the amount of revenues that they're doing, but stock reprices by double digits.
Right? Yes, and ServiceNow's forward PE is 127, all right? Its PE is 63. It has rolled over, but it's holding. It would be one that I would be interested in getting back into once some of this dust settles in the market. Okay, Ford has reported Definitely not a best stock now. I love Michigan. I love Detroit. I love Bloomfield Hills. But I mean, Ford as a stock, their sales were up 3% year over year. Their earnings were down 22%. The stock's down 1.5%. And you know, you look at Ford's performance over the last 10 years, -1.3% per year. While the S&P 17, you look at the last 12 months, the stock's up 11.6%. The market, the S&P's up 25%. So it's far from meeting my criteria for alpha, for performance. And the valuation's not all that great. So anyways, Ford has reported, and Ford's down 1.5% after its report. Let's see, Dr. Pepper, KDP, which is also, they're the ones that bought Monster Energy, right? Or Rockstar, one of them. I think it's Monster Energy. Dr. Pepper's up 3.7% today. You know, it's really not done well lately. Over the last 12 months, it's down 6.5%. While the S&P's up 25, that's why it's not showing up on any of my radar screens right now.
And really, since their merger with they kind of like bought, or it depends on who you want to. It's like almost a merger of equals. Remember, they bought Keurig, you know,
Keurig, the coffee maker, which was Green Mountain Coffee at one time.
That's right. Yep.
Now another good performer, and it's having a very good day. We own the bond, and we've owned the stock in the past. United Rentals. That's one of your best performers in the market. I mean, look, over the last 12 months, it's up 73%.
We own their bond.
We own the bond. Over the last 10 years, 21%. A good report today. It's up 2.9%. I have no problem with United Rentals, URI. Now, we'll end with a stinker, okay? There was a time, we stayed at a hotel one time about two doors down from a Harley-Davidson dealership. And, you know, like 20 hours a day, you would hear this down the street in these big choppers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice, quiet hotel, right, in Arizona. No, a Harley-Davidson dealership. It's been a horrible performer, okay? Over the last 10 years, it's lost 6% per year.
Is it the symbol still hog, right? HOG?
Yep, hog. So that's what you get for making all that noise. I mean, it makes a lot of noise. It makes more noise than it gives out performance as a stock. It's been around a long time. I mean, it's hard. They're out the pride of Wisconsin right there in Milwaukee. The stock's down 13% today. I see no reason to own hog. And just warn you, there in Scottsdale, don't get a hotel too close to that Harley or Indian Cycle dealership. unless you got a lot of white noise to drown it out. Now, the last one I'm going to pick on here is Bristol-Myers Squibb. It's done nothing but squib over the last 10 years. No return whatsoever. Okay, well, you know, where's the CEO? Get him on there, Kramer, and hold him to the carpet. Say, why has your stock not and Hog CEO, too, and BMY, why are you down 30% over the last 12 months? Is it a value player's dream? Not for me. Okay, well, this has been a lot of fun. I think I'll come back. We'll do it tomorrow again. Who knows? Yeah. We'll have Microsoft to talk about. We'll have Google to talk about tomorrow. I don't know if I have to add more sandbags to the bunker here. We'll take it one stock at a time and one day at a time. To set up an appointment with us and get a portfolio review, is anybody managing your account? I don't know. Only you can answer that. You can give us a call. We have six strategies that, man, I could manage a lot more than I'm managing now. Because we have a very streamlined system here, very efficient. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter and stay on top of the markets and what we're buying and selling during those 2 weeks. Give us, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.